I gotta start off this episode knocking that dust off this podcast mic because it has been a couple of weeks since we have been able to put out a new episode for you guys. We had some dental issues between myself and Sydney. We had some Wi-Fi issues here at the house, but we are almost back to 100%. We still don't have Sydney ready to go yet for part two. We got her waiting in the wings, though. We will get her back on here for sure pretty soon to cover the second half of our father-daughter trip. But like I said, it's been a couple of weeks here, so wanted to make sure I jump back and I'll get on the microphone here for you guys and put out an episode. So we're going to cover some Walt Disney World content for you guys here today. We are going to talk about Walt Disney World Resorts. So before we get this party started, Colby, you remember what to do, buddy, right? Fire up that music. My name is Johnny J, and this is episode 77 of the DMSW Podcast. Welcome back to the show. This is episode 77 of the DMSW Podcast. And as I said there in the opener, it has been a couple of weeks there since we've been able to put out a new episode for you guys. The last episode we did on 76, we had Sydney, my daughter, come on, and we talked about the first part of our Walt Disney World trip, did a trip review episode. We will be getting Sydney back on here very soon. Part of the reason we missed here these last couple weeks, just ironically, Sydney and I both had some dental work done. I had some little minor mouth surgery, so that knocked us out 1 week. And then last week, the town had come down our street, was putting in new telephone poles down the entire length of the street. And when they put all the Verizon wires back on the pole, they didn't plug A into B or B into C, or they messed something up on the pole. And we didn't catch it until Friday evening, and they were not able to get a tech back out here until Monday morning to get that back straightened out and up and running again. So, like I said, we missed a couple weeks here in a row. Things got away from us this weekend, busy with fall yard cleanup and sports and errands and all that kind of normal stuff. So we were not able to get Sydney back on here tonight to record for this episode, but she is ready and excited to get back here on the show, so we will get her back on here. And then I have three very exciting guests lined up for the next few weeks here. So good news, bad news. Bad news, we missed a couple weeks there, but the good news is that we have a jam-packed schedule here for the rest of the month of November. Like I said, we have three guests lined up. We have Loki Season 2 wrapping up, which, spoiler alert, has been freaking awesome. So if you have not watched this show, if you've been kind of down on Marvel lately, and who can blame you, especially the way Secret Invasion wrapped up, that was just absolute dumpster fire from start to finish. Just easily my least favorite project that Marvel has ever put out. But Loki Season 2 has absolutely brought the old MCU vibes back. The writing on the show has been incredible. The acting from Tom Hiddleston and Owen Wilson and everybody else on the cast has just been absolutely fantastic. It has been a very, very fun season. So if you have not seen episode or season two yet, make sure you go check that out soon because it is fantastic MCU content to watch there on Disney Plus. And then we have the Marvels movie that is going to be coming out later this week as well. So we'll have a chance to talk about that movie and give a review on that. And then, like I said, we have three other guests lined up ready to come on the show and cover some very cool topics, some topics that we have never even remotely come close to. Two of these three guests are from outside of the country as well. So we have a guest coming on from the UK, and we are also going to go down under, and we'll get a guest on the show from Australia. So a very, very fun next few weeks here on the show. Could even have a couple weeks here we kind of catch up on the time that we missed and have maybe possibly two episodes come out in a week here. as well. So very, very exciting time here at the DMSW podcast. But for today's episode, we're just going to get back to basics. We're going to focus on Walt Disney World, and we are going to look at all of the different resorts that they have on property, because in January, the company that I work for is going to be having their national sales meeting down in Orlando, and I'm going to either head down probably 2 or 3 days early or stay 2 or 3 days late and try to get some time in over at the parks and get some value out of that annual pass that I bought this year. So that pass got activated when I was down there for my father-daughter trip with Sydney back in September. So now that the clock is ticking and we have less than a year to go on that pass, got to make sure we go as many times as we can to get the value out of that pass. So excited to get back to the Walt Disney World Park in January. But because of that trip that is coming up, I have started trying to think about which resort I'm going to want to try to stay at. So the timing of when the meeting is actually before the Skyliner goes down. So even if I choose to stay late for a few days after the meeting wraps up, that is still in that window before the Skyliner goes down. So that will be factoring into my decision. But so basically what I want to do on the episode here today is start off with just covering all the different resorts that they have on property there. So if you are a Disneyland fan, or you're somebody that has not made it to Walt Disney World or haven't been in a while, just want to review all the different options that are on the table for a Walt Disney World vacation. If you are choosing to stay at a Disney resort on property, then I will cover the resorts that I've already stayed at before, and hopefully we'll be able to, by the end of this episode, pick which hotel I will try to stay at here on the January trip coming up, because the one of the Disney bucket list things that people have, if you're a Walt Disney World fan, is there's so many different resorts, so many options there within the Disney bubble. We want to try to stay at every single different resort option that they have on property. So we'll go through the ones that I have been to and see what options we have here for this quick trip coming up in January. So we'll start off, basically the easiest way to describe it for those of you guys that have not been to Walt Disney World, there are a ton of options. There are actually a grand total of 21 different hotels that you can stay at on Disney property. And within some of these, within 10 of the hotels, they actually have two different options. They have rooms that you can just pay for as just a traditional Disney vacation package, or they have the DVC villas. So if you are a DVC member, you can stay at these resorts. Or if you want to try to use the different rental sources that are out there, you can rent DVC points to be able to stay at some of these resorts as well. So the bottom category is what they call the value resorts. Those are going to be your cheapest when it comes to price, and emphasis on the value. These are going to be great hotels to stay at if your focus is time in the parks and you're not really into or looking to spend a ton of time at the resort. You're just basically looking for somewhere to go back and take a shower and sleep for the night, because you're looking to spend all your time while you're there in the park. So the value resorts are going to be your best option for pinching pennies. And like I said, if you're just looking to literally get the value, these are going to be your best option. So we have the first set of hotels here in the value section are the All-Star Hotels. We have the All-Star Movies, the All-Star Music, and the All-Star Sports Hotels. These are all located very close to each other, right in a row. And these are actually like the motel style buildings. So there's no indoor hallways for these buildings. They are all doors that open right up to the outside. Most of these buildings are going to be 3 floors. They have multiple pools through these areas. You're going to have a dining hall at the main building, and the transportation is going to be bus only from these hotels. There is no Skyliner option, no boat option. Your only way of getting from these hotels to the parks and to Disney Springs is going to be using the Disney bus system. Now, if you want to spend a little bit more money, your next step up in the still staying in the value category will take you over to the Pop Century Resort. Now, the buildings at the Pop Century are going to look identical to the All-Star movies. And the other good thing about these value resorts is they've all been refurbished within the last couple of years. So they're all very clean, very fresh and new spruced up rooms here. All the carpeting has been removed from these hotels. They're that laminate floor style in all the different rooms here. Most of the rooms are going to have a standard queen size bed, and then they'll have the Murphy bed option. So when you come into the room, there's a table set up, but the bed will actually fold down out of the wall right on top of that table, and the table kind of collapses down a little bit. So the Pop Century Hotel is basically the same thing as those All-Star options for you, but in my opinion, the food is actually going to be a step up in quality as well. I think the food that they put at the food court in the Pop Century is slightly better than what you're getting at those All-Star movie resorts. The food still doesn't absolutely, it won't blow your doors off at Pop Century, but to me, the food at the All-Stars was similar to what you would get at a high school, like your basic high school cafeteria type of food. So definitely doesn't blow your doors off. Pop is definitely a step up, I think, in quality above that on the food side of things. But then the other cool thing that you get with Pop Century is you have access to the Skyliner. So if you are trying to head to Hollywood Studios or Epcot, you can get to those locations a heck of a lot faster and a heck of a lot more enjoyable way by using the Skyliner over the Disney bus system. Now, the sister resort to Pop Century is the Art of Animation. The Pop Century and Art of Animation actually share one Skyliner station. It is the final stop on the Skyliner line, and there's a bridge that connects the Art of Animation to the Pop Century location. And the Skyliner station is right on the center of that bridge that connects the two properties. So the Art of Animation layout is an exact mirror of the Pop Century Resort. So again, same building styles here on the Art of Animation side. The one change, though, is the Art of Animation is a great option for families with more than just the two kids traveling on a vacation. So if you have three or four kids, the Art of Animation is going to be a better option for you over the Pop or the All-Stars, because they have what they call Disney Family Suites. And there's a Cars section, there is a Finding Nemo section, and there is a Lion King section. And these rooms are basically all like little one-bedroom apartments. So when you come into the room, you get that Murphy bed that folds down on top of the table. You have a little small living room set up that has a couch with a pull-out bed from that, a TV. You get a little kitchenette set up, and you get a full bath. And then off in the corner, there's actually another door that brings you into the one-bedroom, or the master bedroom suite, I guess you could call it, because there is another queen bed in there with another TV set up and another full bathroom in that location as well. So this is going to be your most expensive option in the value category, these Art of Animation family suite rooms that you get, whether, like I said, you do Cars, Finding Nemo, or The Lion King. But then at the very back end of the Art of Animation property, they have a Little Mermaid section. And the Little Mermaid section is the exact same thing that you get over at Pop Century, those motel-style doors on the outside. The Lion King, the Finding Nemo, and the car section, they all have indoor hallways. So more of your traditional hotel setup as far as the rooms go. So a little bit quieter, maybe at night, heading back to your room, getting to go inside the hotel as you get back into your room. But that wraps up the value resort category. So from this value section, I have stayed at Pop Century, I have stayed at Art of Animation, and I have stayed at one of the three All-Star options. So I have been able to stay at the All-Star music section. So The next category up is the moderate section. This is going to be just, they name them this way for a reason. Value, moderate, and deluxe. And the moderate is going to be a very solid, moderate option right in the middle. It's going to be more money than the value. It's going to have upgrades typically at the pool section. The rooms are going to be a little bit bigger and a little bit nicer, but we're still not up into that deluxe level category yet. So the options that we have in the moderate category are the Caribbean Beach Resort, Coronado Springs, the cabins at Fort Wilderness, Port Orleans Riverside, and Port Orleans French Quarter. So in the moderate category, if you are like me, if you're a major fan of the Skyliner, the only option for you for a Skyliner hotel in the moderate section is the Caribbean Beach Resort. This is the biggest Skyliner station on Walt Disney World property. They call it the Hub Station because the line from the Pop Century and Out of Animation come to this hub location. Then there's a branch that goes off and goes directly to Hollywood Studios. And then the third option or the third line coming out of the hub goes down into the Riviera Resort. And then it goes and it turns, goes down the street, hits another turning station. It doesn't stop. There's no hotel, no park. There's just a big turning station. And then it brings you directly to Epcot at the end of the line there. So Caribbean Beach is your Skyliner hub. It is your main go-to for anything that you're doing on the Skyliner, trying to travel and get to a park or get to another resort. You're going to be coming through the Caribbean Beach Station, no doubt, as you travel around. The other cool thing about this hub location for the Skyliner is they have their own Joffrey's location that opens very early as well. So if you are somebody that likes to get out there and rope drop in the parks, you can hit this Joffrey's location right before you jump on the Skyliner and head off to start your Disney day at the park. So great option if you are somebody that loves, like I said, using the Skyliner on your vacation. Maybe one of the biggest areas on the park as far as the hotels go as well. Just a massive, massive resort. Multiple different sections all around. It is partnered right up next to the one of the DVC Villa locations, the Riviera. You can see it right on the end of the lake setup that they have there for Caribbean Beach. But as I said, with these moderate hotels, you're going to get an upgrade in the pool and an upgrade in the room over what you're going to get at those value locations. Now, some of these moderate resorts, though, have not been refurbished as recently as the value resorts have been. So even though those values are going to save you a little bit of money, depending on which room you get situated at one of these moderate level resorts, you might actually get a cleaner and more up-to-date room if you were staying at one of those values. So something to think about here when you're looking over the price difference and trying to think about what option works best for you guys and your family. The next option in the moderate category is the Coronado Springs Resort. And the Coronado Springs Resort is one of the prettiest, I think, resort locations on Walt Disney World property. Absolutely beautiful grounds. It's the old Southwestern type of theming. A lot of think of Arizona desert, New Mexico, that type of theming all throughout the hotel. Some beautiful restaurant locations on property here. A very cool pool. Looks like kind of an Aztec temple and has a big water slide coming off it. So very, very beautiful resort location here. The downfall to this resort, though, is there is no boat transportation and there's no Skyliner transportation. So anywhere you need to go, if you are staying at Coronado Springs, you're going to have to take the Disney buses. And like Caribbean Beach, it is a very large footprint on the map as well. So multiple bus stops on the property as well. So something to think about when you're looking at the moderate option over the value. If you're looking at Coronado Springs, to me, this is an excellent resort to think about if you are going to do kind of half and half on your time on your vacation. You're going to be doing some time in the parks, and you also want to be able to relax and actually enjoy the resort. This is one of those resorts that you can really relax and absolutely definitely enjoy. They also have the Grandestino Tower, which is a new addition to this resort as well. So a little bit more expensive rooms there in the tower, a little bit fancier, like I said, a little bit newer. So you're getting a little bit of an upgrade there, some fancy restaurants at the top of this new tower as well. So lots of things to think about if you're looking at the Coronado Springs Resort as an option if you're going to be staying on your upcoming trip. Next hotel in the moderate section is the Cabins at Fort Wilderness. And the easiest way to describe these things, I think, is think about basically like a mobile home. If you're going to be camping out in the woods in a mobile home. So almost like a little apartment. They're not on wheels. They don't move them around the property and shift things around. They are permanent in there, but they kind of have that setup of a mobile home setup. Not super wide, but they're typically very long. This is usually a bedroom in the very back of this resort. Probably have a queen size bed and then usually a set of bunk beds. You get one full bathroom. You'll have a Murphy bed. And then the other cool thing about the Cabins in Fort Wilderness, though, is you actually typically will have a grill set up outside. So if you want to be able to jump off property, if you have a rental car, or you're going to take an Uber to a local grocery store, you can pick up hot dogs, hamburgers, or whatever, and have a night where you cook on the grill there right outside your room. But they also have a full kitchen set up in these little cabins as well. So another cool option to think about if you are looking at something in that moderate section for price range for your upcoming trip. And the last two options here in the moderate section are in a way similar to almost Art of Animation and Pop Century. They're kind of sister resorts of each other. We have Port Orleans Riverside and Port Orleans French Quarter. Now, these don't look exactly the same as kind of Art of Animation and Pop seem to mirror each other in the look. These two resorts have a very different look amongst them, but they are very close to each other and they have walking paths you can get from Riverside over to French Quarter. Now, in my opinion, I think the food and the pool setups are better at the Riverside location, but the French Quarter resort, the very cool thing about Port Orleans French Quarter is it is the only place or the only hotel or resort on Walt Disney World property where you can get beignets. Every single day, you can go to Port Orleans French Quarter and they have beignets that they serve all day long there at that location. So many a times we have been on a Walt Disney World vacation and we find a way to make a trip over to French Quarter for no other reason than to just take in some of those Disney beignets, which are just absolutely fantastic. Me and Sydney definitely hit those up two different times on our father-daughter trip. She is a huge fan of the beignets at French Quarter. So something to think about when you're looking at Port Orleans Riverside or Port Orleans French Quarter is, are you a big fan of beignets? Or are you looking for more of maybe a little bit of a elevated dining experience or a slightly better pool option? And that might be able to help you kind of decide which of the two Port Orleans options might be better for you. The other cool thing about the two Port Orleans hotels is they have boat transportation directly to Disney Springs. So if you are looking to get some shopping done or you have some restaurants or bars that you want to check out over there at Disney Springs, there are countless options available to you over there. And if you are staying at Port Orleans Riverside or Port Orleans French Quarter, you have a boat that will connect you directly to the Disney Springs. Now, the important thing you want to remember here is the Disney Springs location does not have bus transportation directly to the park. So if you are staying at Port Orleans, you want to go grab some food or do some shopping and then head into a Disney park, you are going to have to either take your boat back to your Port Orleans hotel and then take the bus from your hotel directly to the parks, or you could jump on technically any resort bus that picks up there at Disney Springs. They have buses for all the different hotel options on Walt Disney World property, but they don't have buses that go directly from Disney Springs to the parks, because if you are somebody that lives local or you are renting a car, you can drive to Disney Springs and get free parking, but they don't want guests using that as a kind of backdoor option to getting free parking at the theme park. So they try to make it a little bit more difficult and they don't give you that bus transportation directly from a park to Disney Springs. And in theory, if you're trying to stay to park close or to catch that fireworks show at the end of the night, you're definitely not going to have time to be able to leave the park on a bus to a resort. And then once you get to the resort, hopping on a different bus to get back to Disney Springs. So they try to make sure that you're not taking advantage of that free parking there at Disney Springs. But again, a great option if you are staying at Port Orleans and you want to be able to quickly jump over to the Disney Springs area to, like I said, take advantage of all those different restaurant, bar, and shopping options that are available to you at the Disney Springs location. Now, the final section here of the hotels is the deluxe level resorts. If you are staying deluxe, typically there'll be different nights. You have to look at the calendar. There'll be certain parks that they extend the evening hours for anybody that is staying at a deluxe level resort. And your options in this deluxe category are the Animal Kingdom Lodge, the Yacht Club, the Beach Club, the Boardwalk, the Contemporary, the Grand Floridian, the Polynesian, and the Wilderness Lodge Hotel. Now, these are obviously going to be your most expensive options on Walt Disney World property, but like all things in life, you get what you pay for, and you're getting an elevated experience in the room with the food, with the accommodations on site. And I also get the feeling here, staying at some of the options that I've stayed at here in the deluxe category, is the overall property size is a little bit smaller. So not as many people staying at these resorts. When you take the buses to and from the theme parks, there's typically not as many people jam-packed into these buses as when you're staying at the All-Star levels or the Art of Animation or the Pop Century. When you stay at the parks very late, you watch that final fireworks show of the night, and there's that mass exodus out of the park, and you head back to the bus section, you'll notice that the All-Star resorts, those value-level resorts, are going to have the longest and craziest lines for the bus to get back to your hotel at the end of the night. So if you are paying that extra money to stay deluxe, like I said, not only do you have the options on certain nights at certain parks to stay for some extended hours in the park and getting you to be able to get on the rides a little bit faster without having as many people there in the park, but typically you won't have as long of a line at your bus to get back to your resort at the end of the night either. But with that comes the much higher price tag. So going through each one of these resorts, a lot of these, like I said, I have not had the chance to stay at. When the last couple of trips with my family, we've tried the split stay option. So what that is, if you're unfamiliar with the term, with a split stay, is you actually literally split your vacation stay over multiple different hotel locations. So when we travel down with the kids, we typically are doing that by driving from Massachusetts, and that drive from Massachusetts to Florida will absolutely wipe you out. So what we have done is we have done that split stay option, and we've tried to either stay at a moderate hotel or a deluxe hotel for just maybe one night, or I think one time we did it with two nights, but just a much shorter stay. But we treat that as time dedicated to that resort and actually enjoying what the resort has to offer. So that's typically the first part that we will do on our trip. We will stay, like I said, at either a moderate or a deluxe level, and just really relax and just kind of unwind from that long drive down the East Coast before we get into the theme park. So it gives us a chance to kind of recharge batteries, and like I said, kind of unwind from that long drive, and then kind of mentally get you ready for that longer Disney vacation where you're going to be spending multiple days in the parks and walking around, putting tons and tons of steps and tons of miles on your feet. But the options here in this deluxe category, we can start off with the Animal Kingdom Lodge. This hotel, as you could probably guess, is the closest hotel and resort to the Animal Kingdom Park. This resort is going to have its own kind of animal sanctuary there right within the hotel. So there are options for rooms that you can stay at where you can actually look out and see the animals right on property. You can see giraffes eating from the tree right outside your room. You can see zebras kind of running around out there. So very, very cool theming throughout the Animal Kingdom Lodge location. A lot of people out there say that Boma might be the best breakfast on Walt Disney World property. And if we think about the deluxe resorts based on what theme park they're closest related to, so Animal Kingdom Lodge will be your closest option for the Animal Kingdom Park. And then if we think about the resort locations for Epcot, that will get you to the Beach Club, the Yacht Club, and the Boardwalk location. Now, all three of these deluxe resorts are located right out the World Showcase entrance, or the International Gateway, they call it there, in the back right corner over near the France Pavilion in the World Showcase in Epcot. All three resorts are right out back there. If you take the bridge across, you can go left into the Boardwalk Resort, or you can go to the right, and that will bring you to both the Beach Club and the Yacht Club. Now, the Yacht and Beach Club together, similar to almost Port Orleans Riverside and Port Orleans French Quarter and Art of Animation and Pop Century, they're basically like brother or sister resorts to each other. They are right next to each other on property, and they actually share what most people will tell you is going to be your biggest and best option for a pool. So if you're somebody that loves to relax at the pool on a Disney vacation, the Yacht and Beach Club, or the Yacht or the Beach Club, should definitely be on your bucket list, because that is the biggest selling feature, other than being so close to the Epcot resort, is this just absolutely massive, massive pool that they have there on property. They also have that ice cream that you can see on a lot of people's Instagram there, that kitchen sink ice cream that comes with like 40 scoops of ice cream, and you see the whole family all sharing that after a long day at the park. So that ice cream location there is at Beaches and Cream, which is in the Yacht and Beach Club area. And then, at least for my personal experience, the best meal that I have ever had on Disney property, not counting a breakfast, just focusing solely on like a lunch or a dinner option, was eating at the Yachtsman Steakhouse, which is located inside the Yacht Club Resort, and it was phenomenal. It was absolutely the best meal that I've ever had. Got a filet mignon, and it was just absolutely melt-in-your-mouth quality. It was maybe the best piece of steak I've ever had in my life. Easily the best meal that I've ever had on Disney property. So if you're, like I said, somebody that loves relaxing by the pool, enjoying the accommodations that are specifically right there on site, you certainly can't do any better than Yacht and Beach Club. They are going to be right there at the top of almost anybody's list of their dream place to stay on Walt Disney World property. The Boardwalk, however, though, is my personal favorite resort that I have ever stayed at. The nightlife on the Boardwalk is just absolutely magical. It is just, think about the Jersey Shore type of area, and it's just that wooden boardwalk sound that you can hear of people walking at night. They light it all up with the kind of the white Christmas lights kind of sort of there through the area with some of the trees. And they have different performing acts that come through, juggling acts and magicians and all kinds of fun stuff to kind of keep the atmosphere alive there at night through that area. And they have a humongous grass, kind of fake grass area there where they'll do the family movie nights for the kids. So just a great spot, great location. Like I said, again, if you are looking to spend time and you are somebody that likes to spend time at your resort, the Boardwalk also has a very fun pool. Used to have a very creepy clown face on their slide. A lot of people would make fun of it and say it was actually too scary for their kids to go on. Our kids, the one time we stayed at it, absolutely loved it, though. Had a blast going down that water slide. But they've remodeled it all to Mickey and Friends theming now as well anyway. So the scary clown has been boxed up and put away, and we'll see if maybe in the future that Disney digs that thing up out of the archives and hides it in a ride, a Guardians of the Galaxy ride or something somewhere, like they've done with some of the other old ride parts here along the way. But Boardwalk is easily my favorite hotel that I've ever stayed at. Absolutely love the Boardwalk. So great option there. Now, the other cool thing to think about with the Boardwalk and the Yacht Beach Club is they're not technically called Skyliner Resorts because they don't have their own personal Skyliner station. But as I said, all three of these hotels are within walking distance of that back location to the World Showcase and the International Gateway area there for Epcot. And there is a Skyliner station right there. And I don't know the exact mileage. I haven't measured it out. But I'd be willing to bet if you did that measuring, there are plenty of rooms there at the boardwalk location where if you left your hotel room from the boardwalk and you walked to the Epcot Skyliner station, that would be a shorter walk than what you could get at certain rooms on the Caribbean Beach Resort if you were walking to their hub station or their Skyliner station, or even back to Art of Animation and Pop Century. If you go to Art of Animation and you stay in one of the Little Mermaid rooms, that is a hike and a half to get to where the Skyliner station is. So you can do a pretty good job of staying at the boardwalk and being able to have a very nice and close walk to that Skyliner station, even though for some reason Disney doesn't call it actually an official Skyliner resort. But that wraps up all the hotels in the Epcot area. If we bounce over to the Magic Kingdom area now, you get the monorail resorts here. You're going to get the Contemporary, the Grand Floridian, and the Polynesian Hotel. And all three of these hotels are located on that monorail loop that hits the Magic Kingdom Park. And the fourth Magic Kingdom Hotel over here is going to be the Wilderness Lodge Hotel. So we'll start at the Wilderness Lodge Hotel because that's kind of the one outlier. It's the one that's not on the monorail loop, but it is very close to the Magic Kingdom area. And the cool thing about staying at Wilderness Lodge is they do have a boat that will take you directly to Magic Kingdom. So you don't have to take that resort bus if you are staying at the Wilderness Lodge location. For the Disneyland fans that are out there that are listening to this episode, the Wilderness Lodge is what I would equate closely to your Grand Californian Hotel over there at DCA. Very similar look, that old rustic lodge. Old, like just massive log cabin type of look and type of feel. Inside the lobby feels very, very similar vibe when I checked out the Grand Californian when I was out there on my last trip to the West Coast. So if you are somebody that has stayed at that hotel, you would absolutely love the Wilderness Lodge location, I'm sure, as well. And the outside and the grounds of this hotel, absolutely beautiful, and it's a great resort to visit. Even if you're not staying at this resort, if you have kids that love doing the Hidden Mickey Challenge and looking for Hidden Mickeys all over the different parts of the parks and the resorts, one of the coolest things that you can do at the Wilderness Lodge is you can go right up to the front desk, tell them that you got a couple kiddos with you that want to do their Hidden Mickey scavenger hunt, and they'll give you a printout of, I think it was like either 12 or 14 or so. It was a few more than 10 Hidden Mickeys all hidden all through the Wilderness Lodge hotel. So they'll give you the clues on the printout there, and then you can walk around with your kiddos and find and take your pictures with all the Hidden Mickeys that they find along the way. So if your kids are like my kids and they absolutely love the Hidden Mickey hunt, this is definitely something you can think about adding to one of your days where you're not spending time in the parks and you're trying to relax and enjoy the resorts, or try to bounce around and just check out the different resorts that they have on property. This is something very cool that'll easily kill an hour and a half or so of your time and absolutely give your kids something that they love doing. Bouncing over to the monorail resorts, though, for the Magic Kingdom loop, you're going to hit the Contemporary, and that is that older A-frame style building that you see off to the side of the Magic Kingdom that the monorail actually drives directly through the hotel. Now, as far as what the experience is like at the pool or eating at this restaurant, I have nothing for you. I've been inside the Contemporary Resort, but other than Chef Mickey's, which is just your very basic, regular, standard breakfast buffet type of setup, I haven't eaten at either of the two or more fancy restaurants here inside the Contemporary, but I have been to Chef Mickey's. It is an absolute staple for any of the family vacations that we do with the kiddos. We always try to do a Chef Mickey's breakfast before our first trip to Magic Kingdom if we can, if the timing and the availability opens up. But absolutely a very cool, very classic Walt Disney World hotel to check out. It is such a cool thing to be able to ride the monorail directly through that hotel. So if you've not checked out the Contemporary, make sure you go check that out on your next trip down to Walt Disney World. And then your two big hitters, the typically the biggest, two of the biggest price tickets that you're going to see if you're pricing out a Disney vacation is the Polynesian and the Grand Floridian. Now, I am lucky enough that I have stayed at the Polynesian one time. I did a split stay when I came down in August of 2021 with my wife. We traveled down for our 15-year wedding anniversary. We did a split stay where we stayed at the Poly just for one night. And this is going to be my opinion on the Polynesian Hotel. And I've said it here on the podcast before. We paid, I think it was around $900 for one night in just a standard king-size bed, single king-size bed hotel room at the Polynesian. And for what you have to pay to stay at the Polynesian, I think you can save money and get a better experience at going to the Boardwalk or almost any of the moderate level resorts. Now, that's just my opinion. Polynesian, the hotel itself, the grounds are not very big. It's one of the smaller, more compact hotels. So if you like kind of that smaller vibe, that smaller feel, maybe this could be a good spot for you. If you're a Dole Whip fan, that is one of the coolest things I think the Polynesian does have, is they have their own Dole Whips stand right there on property, and they do have fantastic food there at Ohana as well. So there are tons of very good things about the Polynesian Hotel. I'm not trying to knock it in any way whatsoever. If money was not an object, if I hit the lottery, I would have no problem staying at the Polynesian every time I travel down to Walt Disney World. But realistically, living in the world today and the prices that they charge to stay at this hotel, in my opinion, you can do a lot better and push your money a lot further staying at a slightly cheaper resort and probably getting a better overall experience. But again, that's not so much a knock on the Poly itself and what you get from it. It's just, to me, that price tag is just so, so crazy high. The last option here in the deluxe category that I have not talked about is that Grand Floridian Hotel. That is that white building with the red roof that you see in a lot of the times when an ABC show sends their TV show over to the parks. They'll somehow magically wind up staying at the Grand Floridian. I think that's Disney trying to get their get that hotel on screen and get your eyeballs on that hotel. I think Full House stayed there when Full House went to Disney back in the day. But the Grand Floridian is going to be the epitome of the fanciest of the fancy hotels. I personally almost feel uncomfortable walking through the Grand Floridian sometimes when I've been through it there. We used to, before COVID, they had a princess dinner there at the 1900 Park Fair. It was one of our kids' favorite dinners. The food all lined up perfectly with what their tastes were, but the character meet and greets were fantastic there. The evil stepsisters and the evil stepmother from Cinderella would come out a lot of times at that dinner, and they are phenomenal interacting with guests and especially the kiddos for that dinner. So we loved our time when we've been on Grand Floridian property, but I don't think you're going to see me being able to cough up the money that it takes to stay at the Grand Floridian. But like I said before, you get what you pay for on a lot of these hotels. So your Contemporary, Grand Floridian, Polynesian, they're going to be some of your most expensive hotels, but you are right on that monorail loop. And that is really, at the end of the day, a big part of why they're able to get the prices that they get for staying at these hotels. Just that easy convenience of being able to bounce over to the Magic Kingdom and being there in just a few minutes. All right, and the last category here on the list of Disney, Walt Disney World resorts are going to be these DVC Villa hotels or DVC Villa locations. And a lot of these double back over the deluxe options that we just went back over. So at the Animal Kingdom Lodge, they have the Animal Kingdom Lodge Jumbo House and Kidani Village. Both of those locations are inside the Animal Kingdom Lodge property. The Bay Lake Tower is going to connect you to the Contemporary Resort. The Wilderness Lodge has two different locations, the Boulder Ridge section and the Copper Creek section. The Beach Club Villas and the Boardwalk Villas are both going to be options located inside both the Beach Club and Boardwalk Hotels. The Grand Floridian has their own villas. The Poly has their own villa option as well. They also have a new tower building being worked on right now that should be finishing up fairly soon there. They seem to be flying on that construction, so that that new Poly Tower is going to be all DVC resorts as well. So all of these locations that I just listed, they are going to be for DVC owners or somebody that is renting DVC points, but they are not, they're not technically a separate hotel altogether. They are located inside and mixed through the deluxe resort that you can stay at just as a standard Disney vacation package as well. So kind of very similar locations there. The three of the newer ones, though, or the standalone that are just the DVC villa options are going to be the Old Key West option, the Riviera, and the Saratoga Springs. And within Saratoga Springs, they have their own little special area as well that is also for DVC, and it is the Treehouse Villas. So some cool options there. But again, these are all, I'm not a DVC owner, and I've only stayed deluxe two different times, and it was at the Polynesian and the Boardwalk. So I don't have any real life experience at these hotels. I've actually not even visited these hotels or been on property other than the Riviera. The Riviera, like I said, is, if you remember back when we were going through the Moderates, when we talked about the Caribbean Beach Resort, the Riviera is almost basically part of the Caribbean Beach grounds as well. It shares the same kind of main lake area, and their Skyliner station, there are rooms at the Caribbean Beach that are closer to the Riviera Skyliner station than the actual Caribbean Beach Skyliner Hub station for their resort as well. So the Riviera Hotel is going to be one of the hardest breakfasts to get on property right now. That Topolino's Terrace in the dinner resort dinner option there as well is also one of your most popular options on Walt Disney World property right now. Riviera is their newest location. It is absolutely stunning, absolutely beautiful. The pool area and the recreation area out back is absolutely gorgeous. The inside, you walk through, you can see tons of pictures of Walt, old school Disney pictures. So if you're an old school Disney and a Walt Disney, especially a fan of that type of decorating and seeing all those old pictures, definitely make your way over to Riviera and check that out. The other thing that you're probably seeing from the Riviera Hotel is all over Instagram, those big, beautiful archways that they've installed over there, over some little water features that they have. But they have the floating lanterns from the Tangled movie, and they have some Starry Night decorations from the Peter Pan movie as well. So great photo op for you as well if you want to jump over there to the Riviera Hotel. But again, as far as eating at these restaurants or really going into the hotels in depth and checking them out, these are all new to me. So places I have not stayed at yet, but they are certainly, like I said, on the Disney bucket list to eventually stay at here someday. But that covers all the different resort options, all the DVC options that they have on Walt Disney World property. So when it comes to my upcoming trip here in January, if we look at the value category, the only two resorts in the value that I have yet to stay at so far are the All-Star Movie option or the All-Star Sports. And in the moderate section, the only new one left available to me there is Port Orleans French Quarter. I have stayed at Port Orleans Riverside, and I've certainly been to the French Quarter multiple times to check out the beignets. And then Deluxe, I don't even think that's going to be an option for this trip. This is going to be a shorter trip, probably, like I said, at most three nights, probably just two nights, but we'll see how the work schedule goes and how that all shakes out. But for just a simple two or three night stay, it's going to be just a solo dad trip. Like I said, I'll be traveling for work for part of January, and then I'll either be going a few days before the work trip or staying late for a few days. So not going to be traveling down with any of the family. The wife and kids are all going to be at home. So probably going to look for more of the money saving option here for this trip. So basically, right off the bat, renting DVC points or staying at a deluxe hotel is going to be off the table here. So basically, kind of what I'm looking at here is it comes down to if I want to try to stay somewhere brand new, I'm going to be looking at either the French Quarter or the All-Star Movies or the All-Star Sports location. Now, typically, I would always say if you're willing to if the money range of what you're looking for is that All-Star Movies, it's always going to be a little bit more money to stay at the Pop location or in the Little Mermaid rooms at the Art of Animation. But to me, it's always worth it to do that just because of the Skyliner itself. So on this trip, the Skyliner will be up. They typically do shut it down for a week in January. They need to retighten all the lines and do a quick refurb on the whole system. And they typically do that every year, once a year in January. But that will not affect me on this trip. So I do have that option kind of in my back pocket as well. If I want to pay a little bit more money than the All-Star pricing, and I can stay at that at the Pop Century, which has been, knock on wood, fantastic the last few times that we have stayed at that resort. Have nothing to knock on it there. But like I said, I'm somebody that loves a checklist and trying to complete a collection. So if I am looking at my list, I'm thinking it's going to be one of those newer options. I think it's going to come down to either All-Star Movies or All-Star Sports or the French Quarter. Now, for some reason, if they have a promo deal going on right now and there's a steal of a price on the French Quarter, maybe we'll go that option. We'll spend a little bit extra. We'll be able to get those beignets right there on property and have that access to Disney Springs. But I got to also find out who's going to be around that I can meet up with and hang out at the parks as well. If I have friends that are going to be there with an annual pass of their own, or they're going to be in the parks, I'll probably look and probably stay at either Movies or Sports, because I'll be spending time at the parks with those friends that are in the area. But if we have friends in the area that are not going to be in the parks and they would rather just kind of meet up over at Disney Springs and just hang out there, and like I said, either do some bar hopping over there through Disney Springs or grab a nice dinner one night, then maybe that French Quarter option comes back into play. Because if I'm going to be taking a day off from the parks, but we're going to be meeting people at Disney Springs, it would be nice to be able to just hop on the boat to get over there and hop on that boat to come back. But basically, that is what it kind of narrows down to me. So as far as this January trip goes, I will keep you guys informed once I finally book the dates that I'm going to be down there. It'll be either All-Star Movies, All-Star Sports, or Port Orleans French Quarter. But if you are going to be in Walt Disney World, either just before January 10th or just after January 12th, reach out, let me know, shoot me a DM on Instagram, or comment on the post that will go up today for this episode on Instagram. Let me know you're going to be in the parks. Let me know if you're going to be at Disney Springs, if you want to meet up for a drink, dinner, or hang out and do some rides together in the parks. Let me know. I would love to meet up with anybody that will be around. So that will wrap it up for today's episode. This has been episode 77 of the DMSW podcast. If you are a fan of this show and you come back week after week after week, if you could, please take the time, jump on your Apple podcasting app or your Spotify app, leave a 5-star rating. And if you have not taken the time yet to write out a quick review on the Apple podcasting app, that is the best favor that you can do for me to support this show right now. If you take that time, you do that written review on Apple Podcasts, that is what kind of makes your podcast get caught in the algorithm on that app. So when people are typing into the search box Disney or Walt Disney World or Marvel or Star Wars, the more times you guys jump on there and do those written reviews for me, the better that helps the show kind of jump higher and higher up that list. So when people are punching those search words into the box, that the DMSW podcast will come up as an option for them to check out. And that's how the show grows. So again, if you are a fan of the show, if you like what I'm doing here, you enjoy the content that I'm putting out on Instagram, if you could take a few minutes and write out one of those written reviews, it would be a huge, huge help to the show. And as I've said before, offer stands still. Anybody that does that favor for me, takes the time out of their day to write the review, I will make sure to take the time to read that review on a future podcast episode as well. So if you are a small shop owner, if a travel agent, or you just have an Instagram that you want to try to push and get your name out there, put that in the review, leave that in there. Let me know exactly what you want to say about your product or your business or your Instagram handle, and I will make sure to read it word for word. You will get the Ron Burgundy treatment you put it on the teleprompter, I will read it here on a future episode for the podcast. But if you remember from the beginning of today's episode, we got a lot of fun things coming up. We got Sydney coming back on for the other part of our trip review, and we have three very fantastic guests lined up coming on the show as well, and some major, major Marvel projects wrapping up. So should be a fun few weeks here. Welcome back to getting the show here back on track. This has been episode 77. Thank you guys so much. Take care.